As followers of Jesus, we are called to listen, to hear God's call to us, to discern where God leads us. And to do this requires that we are attentive moment by moment. It means we have to realize that this call can be demanding, that sometimes it requires we make difficult choices. And certainly daily life, with its many activities and pressures and demands, can so occupy our attention that we might actually miss hearing God. I wonder somehow if listening for God's voice and God's call might be made more difficult in this era of change and uncertainty. As the past that we knew is swiftly being reshaped by this unending pandemic, reshaped by other societal forces, there might be the temptation for us to cling to where we were, to resist the new reality that is emerging. With so much in flux, we also may not have a clear sense of exactly what God calls us to do, or where God is leading us. In our lesson today, the prophet Elijah struggles to discern God's call for him. What we heard is just the end of a longer passage. At the opening of chapter 19 in the first book of Kings, Elijah is on the run. He's afraid for his life. He has just killed the prophets of Baal, and because he did this, King Ahab is searching for him and wants to kill him. So in response, Elijah flees off into the wilderness. You may remember this passage. He sits under a broom tree and he asks God to let him die. He feels he is a failure. But God does not let him die. Instead, God provides food for him. God lets him rest. And then God sets him on a journey of 40 days and 40 nights. And in that journey, Elijah comes to Mount Horeb. And there he experiences God, but not an earthquake and fire and all those noisy, busy things. He experiences God in the silence, in that still, small voice. God transforms Elijah's running into a holy encounter. And through this encounter, Elijah's vocation is renewed. Not only is his vocation renewed, but God also calls Elisha to be Elijah's successor and to carry on his prophetic vocation. And so in this uncertain time, God is preparing for the future. God is restoring Elijah. God is raising up Elisha. And we hear how Elisha responds. He responds to this call by leaving behind his familiar life. He says goodbye to his family. He kills his oxen and feeds the people. And then he goes off into an unknown and uncertain future with Elijah. In our gospel, Jesus sets his face to go to Jerusalem, Luke tells us. Jesus, too, is on a journey. He is traveling to the cross. And Jesus is resolute, single-minded. Nothing will distract him from this journey. Nothing will keep him from going to Jerusalem. And along the way, Jesus teaches his disciples what it means to walk with him on this road. How the journey will include rejection, persecution, how it takes great commitment, how it asks walking the road without worrying about, without having regard for the ultimate outcome. At the beginning of our gospel, we hear Jesus sends messengers off to a Samaritan village. And the village, for reasons we don't entirely know, except Jesus is focused on Jerusalem, but we don't know why they won't receive Jesus, but they won't. In response, the apostles James and John want to send down fire on that village and destroy it. Jesus rejects this call for vindictive punishment. He doesn't want to give in to that temptation to practice violence. And instead, he follows his own teaching given shortly before this passage about shaking the dust from the sandals and moving on if people won't receive you. Then we hear how there are several people who are called to follow Jesus but are unable to do so. Maybe they're unwilling to do so. Though Jesus calls them, they have other things to go do first. They're not ready to drop everything and to go as the disciples did at the very beginning of the gospel. Perhaps they see following Jesus as one choice among many, or they put other things ahead of responding to the call to follow Jesus. The reasons that we hear in today's gospel might resonate with us. Burying one's father sure makes a lot of sense. Saying farewell at home seems an appropriate thing to do. Commitment to family is important. We're called to love and care for our loved ones, our families, including at the time of death. And yet, despite that, Jesus offers a very hard teaching. He tells his disciples, and by extension tells us, that following in his way of love may put us in conflict with family, with cultural norms and behaviors. What society, family might tell us is important may actually be upended by Jesus' call. To follow Jesus is to turn ourselves over entirely and completely to him, to abandon ourselves to the loving purposes of God, even if this puts us in conflict with the ways of the world or people around us. It's a hard call. But of course, the backdrop to all this helps explain. The backdrop to today's gospel is, of course, Jesus setting his face to Jerusalem, his resolute journey to the city that kills the prophets. He is focused on where he is going, to that place where he will suffer and die on the cross and be raised on the third day, setting humanity free from the power of sin and death, opening eternity to us. We may not think much about the cross outside of Lent and Holy Week, but for Jesus, the cross is at the center of his life and ministry. And is also at the center for us, for through the waters of baptism, we share in a death like his, and we also share in the promise of his resurrection. And it is the cross that provides the purpose and the meaning for our lives. And we hear in our gospel today what that means. We hear how journeying to the cross is the call to reject violence. Jesus prevents John and James from calling down fire on that Samaritan village. The cross itself is such a horrible instrument of shameful death. And it is through the cross that Jesus brings forgiveness and reconciliation. The cross calls us to reject violence, to live by peace. It calls us to forgive our enemies, to not return violence for violence. Through the cross, we are called to die to our impulses for revenge, to reject violence. And through the cross, we are also called to be a people of reconciliation. From the cross, Jesus prays for the forgiveness of those who kill him. And like Jesus, we are called to pray for those who hurt us, who harm us, who wrong us. And we are called to be agents of God's reconciling love in the world. We're called to seek to build bridges across difference, to be reconciled with all people. As the Book of Common Prayer charges us, the mission of the church is to restore all people to unity with God and each other in Christ. Through the cross, we are called to die to the ways of this world. In our gospel, Jesus says, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Jesus, when he sends out his disciples, doesn't send them out with lots of stuff. He doesn't send them provisions along the way. Instead, they are to rely on the kindness of strangers. They are to allow the people in a village they visit to offer them food and shelter. Like Jesus himself, his disciples are not weighed down with possessions. They did not own property tying them to one place. They could go anywhere. They could go anywhere that Jesus called them to go. And we are called to live the same. We are to be single-minded in following Jesus and not distracted by our possessions. We're not to love the things that we have what we own, so much that those possessions keep us from following. Jesus calls us to not let anything distract or weigh us down, but instead to be free to follow Jesus when and where he calls. Through the cross, we must die to our desire for wealth, for possessions, because they hold us back. Material things take hold of our hearts, and they leave little room for Jesus to enter in. And Jesus also teaches us that the cross can lead to rejection and persecution. Jesus prepares his disciples for this reality. Just as the authorities put Jesus to death, so many of his followers will be martyred. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, they are able to give over their lives wholly to Jesus, to trust that though their bodies be injured or killed, they are safe forever. Jesus never will abandon them. The one who gives his life on the cross will be with them in their suffering. Like those first followers, Jesus promises to be with us when we suffer, to sustain us, comfort us, to even give meaning to our trials. For in Jesus, we have a Savior who knows the depths of human suffering. He suffered the agony of a horrific death on the cross. And that cross means we do not suffer in vain, but in suffering and death, we encounter God. We are held safe by God forever. And through Jesus, at the last, we are brought through the valley of the shadow of death and into the promise of resurrection life. The road Jesus calls us to walk is not easy. It is the way of giving up ourselves, but we do that in order to find true and abundant life. The way of love invites us to walk with Jesus to the cross, to that paradox that in losing our lives, we find greater life than we can ever hope for, ask for, or imagine. And so in this time of great uncertainty, of rapid change, of painful polarization and division, may we not lose heart. For we have no reason to fear. Jesus is with us always. In absolute confidence and trust, we may faithfully follow him in all things and surrender our lives over to the power of his love. And so when Jesus calls us, may we resolutely set out, daring to risk everything for the sake of the gospel. May we let go of any attachments that hold us back, following him, not looking back behind us, but steadfastly setting out on the road that he walks. And following Jesus, may we come to the joys that he prepares for those who love him. Amen.
Amen.